from the top line of Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph. Just I think Thursday is the last day, right? I think Friday we start timing.
Thursday's okay. A short day.
Thursday, very short day, right? So the Braisa says, Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mishum Rabbi Kiva, Barishon Mahayu Omer. So he goes through the list. We're going to go through the next number of lines. Which Shir Shayom that we would say on each particular day of the week. So we go as follows. What would we say on day one, Yom Rishon, a Sunday like today? L'Hashem Ha'aretz Umuloa. We say Hashem has the land and everything within it. Why was that Parakatim have to do with first day of the week? Says the Gemara, Al Shem Shekana V'Hikna V'Shalit Bo'Olamo. That Kadosh Baruch Hu owned and he gave over the Hikna. Rashi says Tevel Liyoshei Ba. He gave it over to those who sit it within it, those who dwell, meaning to people. However, Shalit, Rashi says Shalit Bo'Olamo Yechidi. He was still living on his by himself. Kadosh Baruch Hu Shelo Nivro HaMalachim Ad Yom Sheni. He didn't yet create Malachim. Kadosh Baruch Hu was the only Koach in this world, and that somehow is each of these lines is a little complicated how it fits into the explanations. So they explain here. I have here in each of the footnotes explain how this fits in nicely. I thought I did.
What's it nicely?
How exactly these words? It says Lashem Art Umla Tevel V'Yoshreva. So how exactly that Kadosh Baruch Hu alone was sitting it? He Kadosh Baruch Hu alone biyichido. He alone was sitting it. That's how we learn that from the pasuk. That's why that pasuk goes in Yom Tov Rishon on the first day of the week. Okay. Basheni, on the second day of the week, Monday, Mahayu Omen, what would they say? Gadol Hashem Umhulal Ma'od. So why that, Pasuk? So because the Gemara says, Al Shem Shechiluk Masav Umach Alem, because he separated his actions. And Rashi explains here, if you just keep following Rashi, he says, Shechiluk Masav Hivdil Rikia Ben El Yonum Latachton. He separated the Rikia, that became an upper Rikia and a lower Rikia. V'nis Allah V'yosh b'marom, and Kadosh Baruch Hu himself went up to the upper Rikia where he sat, Dugmas Shcheinu B'iro V'har HaKadosh, similar to where the neighbors are down below in the city, and the mountaintops was where the king sat. So the pasuk says, the entire pasuk is, Gadol Hashem Umla Me'od B'ir Elokeinu HaKadosh. So everyone was down below in the city, Kadosh Baruch Hu was up in the mountain. That's what it means when it was separated, the Rikia of the Elyonim versus the Tachtonim. That's why that pasuk fits for Yom Sheni. Bashlishi says the Gemara, how you omer, what would they say in the third day of the week? Elokim nita ba'adas kel. So Kadosh Baruch Hu would be standing in the testimony of Hashem. Bekerv Elokim Yishbo, the Pasuk continues. Al Shem Shegila Eretz Bechachmaso. Kadosh Baruch Hu revealed the land with his great wisdom. Vehechin and Tevel la'adaso. And he prepared a Tevel, place of living, for Kla Yisrael. Why that? Because Rashi explains Shegila Eretz Mokom Matzav Adasa, the place of standing for his Adas. Adas Eda is referring to Klai, so he made Chenemar Vetira Hayabasha Bishlishi Nemar, that the water moved aside and the ground appeared. So Kadosh Baruch Hu is ready laying the foundation for Klai, so people, mankind, to eventually have a place to settle. That's why the third day is like, we say that Parak Tehillim. Barvi, in the fourth day, Hayomim Kelm the Kamos Hashem. Kadosh Baruch Hu, wants nekama, wants revenge. Al Shem Shebara Chama V'Levana. He created the sun and the moon. V'Asir Lifare Me'avdan. He's in the future take revenge on those who worship the sun and the moon that was created on the fourth day.
Interesting that they would just pick on that, right? I mean, there's so many good things about the.
Oh, that's true. Why take the negative?
Yeah.
Right. Not here.
No, that's a good thing. Why it's a negative?
Because the fact that the people worship Avodah Zarah, so he's taking revenge and punishment on them.
Yeah, but it says that Lati Lavo Tzadikim Irapu Mimena V'Reshaim Yadunu Ba. It's from the sun.
Yeah, but here it doesn't say Irapu Mimena, it's just Yadunu Ba. If it would say both, then I could...
But who chose these? Okay, so they heard that was the point. They were dealing with a lot of Avodah Zarah.
No, of course, I understand. I do understand it, yeah, but it's...
Okay. Right. Interesting. Chamishi, then the Thursday, Hayomim, what would they say? Harninu Lelkim Uzenu, that they would sing, our strong ones would sing to Hashem. Al Shem Shebara Ofos V'Dogim the Shebech Lishmo, because Kadosh Baruch Hu created all these birds and these fish to praise Hashem. So Rashi explains, what does this mean? Shebara ofos v'hadogim l'shabeach l'shmo. Kishe'olim roe ofos mishunim zemizeh no sin sherech l'mi shebarim. When man sees different types of birds and different types of fish, he says, wow, how beautiful, and he thanks Hashem. This might be a good source as to visiting a zoo or an aquarium or a aviary to see different creatures to praise Hashem.
Yeah, they were sleeping. It's not worth it.
It's now or then.
Every time I go to the
there's a place in Eretz Yisrael that's beautiful. They say it's like Agamon Achula. Did you hear about it?
Yeah.
In the north. It's unbelievable. They say that's a sanctuary of birds. When they migrate, millions and millions of birds of thousands of different species. It's all the way up north, next to the close to the Hermon. They told me that it's an unbelievable trip.
Never been there.
I'm planning to go to Eretz Yisrael.
Hey, when you go to the zoo, the old animals are asleep. You don't see anything.
Beshishi, on day 6, Hayu Omrim Hashem Amalach Yes Lavish, Kadosh Baruch Hu wears his geus, his greatness. Al Shem Shegamar Malachto Umalach Alem, Kadosh Baruch Hu, on day 6, as we know, he finished the creation and he became the ruler of all the creation. And Mashvi Hayu Omrim, on this day 7, they would say Mizmor Shil Yom HaShabbos, the Yom Shekul Shabbos, the day, the seventh day, that is full of Shabbos. Fits well. Rashi explains, the Yom Shekul Shabbos, She'asid ha'olam lios chariv. In the future, the world will be destroyed. Vein adam v'chol melachos shovsos. Also, yom omrim shir shabbos. So that referring to the loss of lavo, that's what we're referring to when we say yom shekul shabbos.
How inspiring!
Says the Gemara, Amar Nechemya, Mah roch chacham lechalik bein aprakam halalu. Why do they feel the need to distinguish between these different days? So, Ella Barishon, so he has a little bit different explanation. He actually says the same thing by all six, except he only argues on day 7. Ella, what would Rabbi Nechemi explain? Barishon ha-shekana v'hikna v'shal be'olama, like we said already. B'sheni shechilik ma'asav malachalem, he separated the rakia. B'shlishi shegila aretz b'chachmaso, v'hichin tevel adasa, that he prepared the land for Amiso. B'rvi in day 4, shebarcha malvana v'asili parmi avdein. B'chamishi shebar ofos v'dog m'shebech l'shma, the fifth day he created birds and fish. To praise, for us to look at them and to praise Hashem. Bashishi shegamar malachto malach aleihem, and he completed the creation and he became ruler. Bashvi al shem sheshavas. Not what's la'asid lava, like Rashi explained the first one, but what had happened that Kadosh Baruch Hu rested. He actually rested on day 7. He stopped working, and that's why we do it. So there's machlokas tonight, whether we say mizmar shir shekul Shabbos because he had rested in the past, or because in the future there's going to be la'asid lava, an ultimate shvisa. So that's the debate here. So the Gemara explains, Ukamifkli, they're arguing about the following, Bidirav Katina. What does Rav Katina tell us that they're arguing about? Dama Rav Katina, Shisa Alfe Shena Shane Havi Alma. The world is 6,000 years. The Chadchar, if 1,000 years is going to be, Shenemar, it was going to be Char, is going to be destroyed. Shenemar, Veniska Vashem Levado Bayom Ahu. On that day, Akash Baruch will be by himself. And others say it's going to be 2, because it says Yomayim, 2 days. 2 days is like 1,000. Each day is like 1,000, the Pasuk tells us. So it's really going to be 2,000 years of destruction.
Yishaya is the same thing? Or it's separate?
Say it again?
Yishaya. Because the first Pasuk is from Yishaya. And the second Pasuk is Hosha.
Different. Hosea.
Hosea,
yeah.
Is such a book?
Yeah. It's in Tresar. Ever hear Tresar? Chess has one of the books later on in Navi.
It's
part of Nach. It's 12 small svar in it. It's called Chessar. It includes Yonah, Hosea, Amos. Yes.
As if I know the after of Shabbashu.
We'll give it to you next time.
So Rashi explains, so what does this have to do with Machlokes about the future, what's going to be. So Rashi just explained that according to Rabbi Nechemya, the second opinion didn't hold Rav Katina. He didn't hold that there's going to be an end of time where it's going to be complete destruction, where there's going to be a Yom Shabbos. So he couldn't explain Yom Shekul Shabbos is referring to the future because that didn't exist for him. He therefore had to explain it's referring to the past, Shesh Shabbos, that since HaKadosh Baruch Hu rested during the times of creation, that's why we say Yom Shekul Shabbos.
So there's no Mashiach, I see.
There's no what?
There's no Mashiach.
No, there's Mashiach. There's not going to be times of destruction.
What?
There's not going to be a time of Charev. It's going to be Mashiach.
What do you mean? First of all, it will destruct, then Mashiach will come.
So he's talking about there's not going to be a time of destruction. Mashiach will just come without being a period of destruction.
No, not about Mashiach. Mashiach is supposed to come within the 6,000 years.
Apparently not.
No, yes. And then you have, then it's a whole machlokas. If you have, it's a whole thing. If you have Tiches HaMeisim and Nebadam Habba, so the machlokas, when the 6,000 years fall, right? You were learning it.
Well, I did not learn it, no.
No, I
didn't see.
I know that there is, Rabbi Akiva Taz has a whole shiur on this.
Yeah. I never learned about the different calculations.
By that it says here, ביום השלישי יחדש הקדוש ברוך והקימנו ונחיה לפניו. ביום השלישי, כלומר, באלף התשיעי, יהיה משיח הוא קם. But first of all, there will be destruction, not like now that משיח הוא קם any day. אף על פי שהתמאמה עם כל זה וכל כך.
That's, we'll find out,
Marcia.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what's going to be.
The next
I don't know.
200 and something years, we'll find out.
That's okay. What the Baal HaTanya said, that in the אלף השביעי,
right.
משיח הוא קם.
Okay. There is a machlokas to be shown here whether or not when during this 1,000 or 2,000 years of destruction, whether that means complete destruction or it's going to be just partially. The Ravid apparently holds that there's going to be complete destruction and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to recreate the world. And the Rambam writes in Mor Nevuchim that's not true, it's not going to be complete destruction. Rather, it simply means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to... I'm not sure exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what the Rambam means here. It's not explained here. But it's not going to be complete destruction. Perhaps changing new things, but there won't be complete destruction. There might be some new creations, but no destruction. That's how the Rambam first arrived at holds. Okay. Then the Gemara says, B'musafe Shabbasa Mahayomim. What would they say, Shabbos Musaf? So Amar Rav Anan Barava Amar Rav Hazin Haziv Luchav. Those are Rashi Tevos. Hazivlecha Rashi Tevos. You look at Rashi. Rashi explains, it's right around where we are in the Gemara, to the right, a few lines above that. Hazivlecha, Parshas Shiras Hazinu, Parshas Hazinu, as we know it. Cholkin Osa, Lashisha Prakum. You separate it into six chapters. Harishon Hazinu, the first one starts with Hazinu. That goes on for a few psukim. Then Hasheni Zachu Yumos Olam, that starts from another part in Hazinu. Then Hashlishi Yirkavu Al Bemosa Aret. Barvi, Vayera Hashem Vayinatz, Adkan Shishap Sukkum Leperak. Each of those first mentioned things are six psukkim long. Then, Mikam Vailach, the additional prakim that separate Hazinu, Shmona Psukkim Leperak, each one has eight psukkim. Hachamishi Lule Kas Oyev Agur, Hashishi Ki Yadin Hashem Imo. Tos has a little bit different way of separating it. But either way, you take Hazinu, you separate it into six parts, and that's those six parts you would say on Musaf and Shabbos. The Gemara in a few lines will tell us, will ask the question, is this for every single Shabbos, you would say this, all six prakim, or you would say one parak per Shabbos? Right now, you split up Hazinu into six parts, and you say some of that or all of that on each Shabbos. Then comes along Amar Rav Chanan Barava Amar Rav, Kiderech Shechalukim Kan, Kach Chalukim Beis HaKnesses. Now, just like they would separate these chapters in the Beis HaMikdash when singing the Shir during the Musaf, so too they'd separate this in Shul, explains Rashi. Kach chalukin beveis knesses, kach korin osav shisha korin besefer Torah, vashvi korin min hashir ulahalam. So too, and I'm not sure if it works out this way in our Chumash, but the way the aliyahs are separated, I think it is this way. The first part of Hazinu is the Shira. The second half of Hazinu is just regular psukim, whatever the storyline is. So the way we have it is six aliyahs come from six parts of Hazinu, the Shira itself, and the seventh one comes from the final psukim of the Parsha. That's how we separate it. That's what the Gemara tells us. Okay, so then the Gemara says, okay, that's what we do for Musaf. What about B'minchas of the Shabbos, Shabbasa? What shir would they sing Shabbos afternoon during the Karban Tumid, Shalbin Harbayin? Mahayi Omrim. So says that Rabbi Yochanan, Am Rabbi Yochanan, Az Yashir, Umichamocha, V'Az Yashir. So these are two different Az Yashirs. Rashi says Az Yashir, the first one is Shir Asayam Ad Michamocha. That part of Az Yashir you say. And then you say Michamocha Ad Sof Hashir. Then you say the second half of Az Yashir. From Michamocha until the end of that.
Why did they divide it? It goes on.
The reason I'm not sure why, any the reason behind this, I'm sure there's a lot of depth to this. And then finally, Vaz Yashir is Yisrael D'Ali Be'er. Another Vaz Yashir we find, when the Be'er went up, they were praising the greatness of the Be'er, the well that accompanied them in the Midbar. That would be the third parsha that they would read for Mincha of Shabbos.
Here it says that Lefikam and Mefarshim Pasukutet Eino Chedek Min Hashira.
Is that part of it?
Because it goes at until you, from Yud Aleph until Yud Tet, until Yud Chet.
Okay.
I don't know what you want to say.
What is Shirat HaBe'er?
When they sang this praise, this song to the Be'er, I think it was right after Miriam had died, I think, and then they
bear. The Torah?
The Torah, yeah.
Which portion?
It's Chukas, I think. No, a lot. Which parak you said it was?
Also, when Miriam died,
Chavadif.
It sounds right. I think in Parshas Chukas, Miriam dies, I think, there. And then the bear came back. And the Gemara in Tainus tells us that there are three matanos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. There's the man, there's the bear, and then there's the Anan Yaakov. Each came for the three Gimaroim, the three shepherds, Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. So the Gemara says that Aaron, in Zichus Aaron, we had the Anan Yaakov. Aaron died, the Anan Yaakov left, but came back in Zichus Moshe. And then Miriam died, and we lost the Be'er, but it came back because of the Zichus Moshe himself. Moshe himself was able to bring all three Matanos, and then Mon came for Moshe. Once Moshe died, all three of them stopped. So I think in Parshas Chukas, I think when Miriam died and the Be'er came back, the Zichus Moshe Rabbeinu, so I think they sang their praise then. Okay, then the Gemara says, Ibaile, ask the question which I mentioned before, Harni Kulu B'chad Shabbos Amrilu, all these I mentioned prakim above, are they said on each Shabbos, we say all of them? O Dilma kol Shabbosah v'Shabbosah Amichad. Or each one, you'd say one parak. So the Gemara says, Tashma, the Tanya, the Baisa tells us, Amar Yosi, Ad She Rishona Omeris Achas, Shnia Choser Shtayim. When the first one refers to what here? Rashi says, the Shir of Musaf. You'd repeat it one time. It would take 6 weeks to repeat it. For Mincha, it would take... you'd say it twice. Meaning, what it's trying to say is, over the course of 6 weeks, you're going to complete a whole parsha of Musaf, because Musaf, we had six prakim, we said Hazinu. So it'll take 6 weeks to finish that whole section of Musaf, because there's six prakim, but Mincha, during that same period of 6 weeks, you actually say it twice, because there's only three prakim of Mincha. So what we learn from here is that you say each parak per Shabbos.
Right, per Shabbos.
Not the whole thing on each Shabbos. So Shema Mina, we learn from here, called Shabbos of Shabbos, so Amri, Chad, we say one of the chapters, Shema Mina. So I'm Rabbi Yehuda, or Idi, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Esri Masal Asnasa Shechina Mikrai. So the Shechina had traveled 10 places. We learned that out from Sukkim. Ukineg then, corresponding to the Shechina, Galsa Sanhedrin Migmara. The Sanhedrin was exiled to 10 different locations based on the Masorah that we have. So Gemara is going to go through one by one. How do I know this? For what exactly are the travels that it took before we bring proofs for it? Micharav lekarav, this refers to the entrance of the Beis Hamikdash. Umifsan lechatzer, to the courtyard of the Beis Hamikdash. Umichatzer lemizbeach, the machok is which mizbeach this refers to. Mizbeach legag, to the roof of the mizbeach. Umigag lechoma, to the walls of the city. The walls of the Beis Hamikdash. Umichoma le'ir, from that to the city. Umi'ir lehar, umihar le'midbar, umi'midbar also of Yashub b'mkoma, and from the desert, finally, it left to sit in its place, and it's waiting there to come back. That's where the Shekhinah moved from place to place. Don't really know what this means, but the Shekhinah is far away from us right now. That's what it's telling us. So, Shinemar, Elech Ashuva el Mikomi, I'm going to eventually return to my place in the end of times. So now the Gemara is going to bring proof for each stage. Mikaporis lekarav, how do I know it came from the Micharav lekarav? It went from the Kaporis, which is the top of the Aron, from that to one of the Kruvim, to the other one of the Kruvim. How do I know? And Mukarav le Mifsan. Dechsev v'no adalti lecha sham, bidibarti techa me'al Kaporis. I spoke to you from above the Kaporis. That's the Kadosh Baruch Hu's first location, the Shechina's first location. Uksiv then it's written, v'yakev akarav, v'yayif. Then he went to the one of the churim, and he was tired there. Uksiv v'chaver lokeisel nala me'al karav sh'asher haya alav el mifsan habayis. And from there he went to the mifsan, which is the entrance to the Beis Hamikdash. Umi mifsan lechatzah. From there he went to the courtyard, Dichsiv Vaimale Abayis et Ha'anan Vachatzer Mole Esnoga Kvod Hashem, and the courtyard was full of the Chatzer, or of the Shechina rather. Mechatzel Mizbeach Dichsiv traveled from there to the Mizbeach Reisiyas Hashem Nitzav Al Mizbeach. I saw Hashem was standing above the Mizbeach. Mizbeach Legag Dichsiv Tov L'Shevas Alpinas Agag Migag Alpinas Agag. From there, Kadosh Baruch Hu sat above on the roof. Umigag lechomer, from there to the wall, dechsev hinei Hashem nitzav achomas incha, he sat on top of the wall. Umechomer la'ir, dechsev kol Hashem la'ir, yikarei, he heard the voice of Hashem in the city. Umeir lahar, from there he went to the mountain, dechsev vayal kvod Hashem me'al tocha'ir. Vayamod ha'ar, Hashem mikadem la'ir. So then he sat on the, stood on the mountain, which he previously was in the city. Umehar lemidbar, from the mountain he finally went to the desert, dechsev tov shevas be'aretz midbar. From there, he sat in the set and in the midbar. We see from that pasuk. And from midbar, also the Yashu bimkoma, and from the desert, ultimately, Kadosh Baruch Hu sat in his place. Dechsiv, lecha shuvah el mekomi, I'll return to my place. So those are all the different locations Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Shekhinah went.
But it seems that it's not in order, chronological order, right? Yeah. Because you have a cheskel at the beginning and a cheskel at the end.
Yeah, I can't make heads or tails of Navi and the chronology. The Navi,
well, I
mean,
I also
right, yeah.
Don't know the chronology, but I do see that Yecheskel is on the where it says by Kaf Kru Vayayov, and then Yecheskel is at the end where it says Kod Hashem La'ir Yikra.
Yeah, and part of it could be a Nevuah.
Right.
Lav is probably a Nevuah, so you know which time period he's referring to.
Okay.
So I can't figure out Navi. Okay, and then the, Rabbi Yochanan comments on this, three lines from the bottom. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shisha Chadashim Nis'akva Shechina L'Yisrael B'Midbar. 6 months, the Shechina delayed itself in the Midbar, just kind of sat there and waited. Shemei Chazu B'Tshuva, hoping that Klaisa would do Tshuva, and he'd be able to return back to where he was beforehand. However, Kevin Shalo Chazu, so once he saw that they weren't doing Tshuva, Amar Tifach Atman, what does it mean, Tifach Atman?
Tetzin Hashem.
What was that you said?
So
he's going to let them die. Shenemar, Ve'nei Risham Techalena, the eyes of the wicked are going to be destroyed. Umanos Avod Minehem, the Tikvasam Mafach Nefesh, and their hope is going to be destroyed. So Kadosh Baruch Hu finally left. Now the Ben Yehoyada explains, actually let's wait on that, that's actually later on, I'm sorry. Okay. Now we have, that's all about the Shechina. Then the Gemara goes on to explain, Uchenegan Galsam Sanhedrin. Corresponding to that, the Sanhedrin was exiled to 10 different locations itself. Gemara, that's learned out from the Masorah we have. What are the 10 locations? Milishchas Agazes, that's where the Sanhedrin would normally sit. Lishchas Agazes was a chamber right next to the Beis HaMikdash. And from there, Milishchas Agazes Lechanus, Chanus Liushalayim, Mishalayim Liyavna, Umiyavna Leusha, Miusha Liyavna, Miyavna Leusha, back to Yavna, back to Yusha, back to Yavna. Umiusha l'shifram, umishifram l'beis t'sharim, umbeis t'sharim l'tzipari, umitzipari l'tiveri, umitiveri amuka mikulim. And Tiveri was deeper, lower down than all them. They explain that all the previously mentioned ones were all mountaintops. The final one of Tiveri was actually in a valley. Shenemar, b'shafalta me'eretz t'dabri, from the depths, from below, I will speak to you. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer, sheish galus, there were 6 exiles, not 10 exiles. Shenemar, Ki, let's get this pasuk right. Ki hishach yoshvei marom, kirya niskava yashpilana, yashpila ar eretz yagenu ar afar. So there's 6 lashon of shvelus, of lowering down. So he counted 6. So from this pasuk you learn that there are only 6 galios, not 10 of them. And on this, the Ben Yehoyada writes that why 6? 6 were corresponding to the Shishei Sidrei Mishnah that they didn't keep. So by learning the Shishei Sidrei Mishnah, they would hopefully bring the Geula back and bring the Sanhedrin back. And Amar B'Yochanan, Umisham Asidin Ligael, Shenemar Hisnari Me'afar Kumi Shivi. So he says from there, that from there, from Tiveria, is where we're going to be redeemed. That's where the final Galus is going to be. We'll be okay, not sure what that means. What it means, we're being revealed, redeemed from Tiveria, not anywhere else. Maybe that's where the Mashiach is coming from, Eliyahu is coming from, I don't really know. Moving on to the new mission. The mission tells us now, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, V'od zos hiskin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. There's another takana. We've been listing a number of takanas that Rabbi Yochanan did in the previous Mishnayos. So another takana that Rabbi Yochanan made was, Shafil Rosh Basin Bechol Makom. Even if the Rosh Basin, the head Dayan, was anywhere, still Shelo Hayu Adam Holchin Ella Lemakom Havad.
Excuse me? What do you mean anywhere?
If he was anywhere. He was in Woodmere.
You mean he wasn't in the he wasn't by the basin.
Exactly. No. The din was that the Adim don't go to where the Rosh Basin, where the head Dayan is, rather they go to the base Vad, Makom Havad, they go to the location where the basin is, not where the Rosh Dayan is.
Woodmere,
perhaps. Maybe it's you. So it's all about Makom Vat. So the Gemara says there's once a story of Ahi Issa, a particular woman, Das Menu Ladina Kame Dame Mer Ben Hardai. She was summoned to come to court in front of Amemar, who was the head dayan in Hardai. Azil Amemar, the Mechuzah, for some reason, Amemar had to go elsewhere. He went to a place called Mechuzah, Lo Azil Basrei, but she didn't follow him. She didn't want to go to Mechuzah, to the court. So what happened? Kus of Pesicha Elayu, they wrote a letter putting her in Nidoy, saying that since you're not coming to Bezdin, you're not coming to Nidoy. This is how it works today. If you make a summons to somebody and they don't come to a Din Torah, and you send three times, they don't come, you could put them into Nidoy. So this woman refused to follow Amemar. So Amal Ravashi, Amemar, Ravashi says, Amemar, why are you putting her to Chayrim? You weren't in the Makom Vad. You can't expect her to follow wherever you are in the rest of the world and go with all your travels. She wanted to go to the base Vad, the Makom Bezdin, and you weren't there. So you can't put her into Chayim for you leaving and her not following you. So Amalei, so he says back, Meimar says back to Rav Ashi, Hani Mili, that's only true in an Eidus HaChodesh. Dimke Nimtas Machshin La'asulavo. The Takana of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai only applied to Eidus HaChodesh that we say you could only go to the Makom Vad, but you don't follow the Rosh Memshar, the head Dayan. That's what's the reason before for that, because in that case, who's going to come show testimony for the moon? They're going to be chasing after the head Dayan who don't know where it is. If you know the set location, so you know where to go. But you, let's say you show up to the Makom Vad. Head Dayan is taking vacation. Go to him in Switzerland. So no one's going to want to come to do the Eidus HaChodesh anymore. It's going to be crazy. That's only by Eidus HaChodesh you have to go to the Makom Vad. Aval Hacha here, Eved lo v'leish malva. Eved lo v'leish malva. This is a pasuk. The Gemara was a pasuk in Iyo. Where is it?
It's in Mishlei.
A Mishlei. Okay, a pasuk in Mishlei. It appears a few times, a couple times in Sanhedrin. The pasuk tells us that the lova is a servant to the malva. The malva did a great tova for the lova. He lent him money. So, and the lova is not paying back the money. Malva says, take him to court. Pay me back the money. So the malva has the upper hand. So the malva decides, wherever I am, you have to come to my basin. Let's say they have an argument. Which basin should we go to? She would have based in Brooklyn, the based in Woodmere. Which basin do we go to? So the Malva has the upper hand. So Malva was following a Maimar. So Malva said, let's go to Maimar in Mechuzah. And the Lova, the woman, was a Lova. She said, no, I don't want to go. So that's why we put it in Chayim, because she has to, since she was the Lova in this situation, she must follow where the Malva wants to go to the Din Torah. Now there's a Machok Yishonim, whether or not this really Machok is Achronim, where the halach of Ever Lovel Ish Malva, that the Malva picks which Din Torah, does that only apply to a halva'a, or does it apply to all cases, even Nezikin, the Toein gets to take the Nitan to the court case? So some Achronim say this Pasuk says only by halva'a, because the Malva did a Tova for the Lova. Comes to Nezikin, so guy damaged me and I'm trying to get the money. Well, I didn't do a Tova. He owes me money, but I didn't do a Tova that I have right. The upper hand.
No, also it could be that the guy wasn't really, like it's just, it's there's no
basis for the claim?
No, or there is, but there is not. I mean, the basin didn't come up with a ruling yet, so maybe the one that is, the
mazik, Nitan?
If the mazik is putter, and right. Then you end up pushing him to go to the place where he didn't have to go.
Right.
With the Malvian Love, it's, it's clear that, unless it's a Shtar Mezuyah.
Right. Right, we're not choshish for Shtar Mezuyah, no. Right. Okay, so that's Machlokas, the Ramach, he's an Achron who comments on the Rambam, versus the Kesed Mishnah. Then the Gemara says, Tanur Rabbanon, quoting another Takana of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, that Ein Kohanim Rishayin La'alos B'Sandalayim, L'Duchen, a Kohen can't go up to Duchen with sandals on. V'zu Echer Miteshu Takana Shehiskin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. This was one of the nine Takanas that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made. So the reason why a Kohen can't go, Rashi says, look at the Gemara in Sota, tells us why a Kohen can't duchen with sandals on. The Gemara explains because there's a concern, let's say the sandal the strap, the however they used to tie the sandals, might break or untie. So then the Kohen, during Birkas Kohen, is going to go down to fix his sandal. And people are going to say, wait a second, even though they shouldn't be looking, but someone might look under the talus, or they used to cover their hands with talisim, and I'm not sure if they covered their heads with talisim, but they're supposed to close their eyes and look down. The guy was looking and saw the guy bending down. So he must be a mum. What's he doing up there? He's not doing Birkas Kohen because he's a mum. That's why he's bending down. Out of a concern for that, they said no shoes are allowed to be brought onto the duchen.
So this is the reason why the Kohen don't wear shoes?
No, the Kohen don't wear shoes.
Oh, because it's leather.
No, they don't wear shoes in general. They're not supposed to, but sandals, mikardin, can be since it's open. Since the heels are open and stuff, there's only a gzera. Right, because remember that the Kohanim, when they do the avoda, they wash the hands and legs, the pasuk says.
Right.
Yeah, the Viraglov.
They knew that Crocs would be
a problem
someday.
Yeah. They did that already.
Okay. Okay, so the Gemara just mentioned that the Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, it made a total of 9 takanos. So the Gemara is going to go one by one. Okay. So what are the takanos? So, Shis Dehai Pirka, 6 that are found in this very parak in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. And the fourth parak. What are the 6 takanas? So Rashi gathers them together for us. Rashi sees Shis Dehai Pirka, Chad Dehai, one we just mentioned, which was the one about only going to the Makom Vad. V'chamesh Masisin, 5 of the other Mishnah house, Hiskin Shu Token, that they said he could blow the shofar in Shabbos in the base in Yavna, that was the Kana. V'sheyeh Lulav Nital Shiva, that Lulav's taken all 7 days. She'yeh Yom Hanaf Kula Aser, the day that Karban Omer was brought, the entire day is Aser to eat the Yashin. Yashin's not Mutter until the day's over. Shum Kablin Kol Yom, they accept the Edom of the new month the entire day. V'sheyeh Yom Edom Holchon Ella La Makom Avad, and that Edom would only go to Makom Avad. And then this last one again was at the, this is the last one, right? Okay. So that gives us 6, yeah?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3.
Because the Arzgul counts them. That's what, but then Rashi has that first.
He does it first.
Yeah, because that's the one we just said.
But I'm only getting 5 here.
You have shofar.
Lulav,
right?
Yom Hanaf.
Edut Achodesh. Olchim Lavad. And Sandalim.
That's what the Gemara saw in the Sandalim. Okay, that was the first one. Okay. Then the Gemara says, so that gives us 6. We're still missing 3. The Chada, number 7, is HaPirka Kama, the first parak, which Rashi tells us is, Shelo yu mechalin ela al nisan v'tishe bavad, that you only go out to mechal b'zmanazeh, even though there's no Beis HaMikdash. Remember, during the Beis HaMikdash, they would go every single day, Edom can be mechal Shabbos, so they bring the right carbon, to know to bring the carbon Musaf for Rosh Chodesh, they're mechal Shabbos. B'zman HaZeh, there's no Beis HaMikdash, there's no need to be mechal Shabbos anymore, because there are no more carbonos. Still, Rabbi Yochanan Dake said, on Tishrei Nisan, you should go out, so we know when the Mo'adim are. So that was number 7. Then the Gemara says, the Idach, the 8th one is, the Tani, the Brisa tells us, completely different than what we've been mentioning. Ger Shinis Gayer, Bizman Hazeh, a convert. Tzarech Sheyafrish Roveya Lekina. He has to set aside money for the Cain. He has to bring Rashi explains, is a certain amount. Let's read through the Rashi. We have plenty of time, why not? Rashi says, Tzarech Sheyafrish Roveya Lekina. Roveya, says Rashi, is shekel, the hainu chatzi dinar. It's a shekel. It's a half a dinar. That's a certain amount of money. He has to separate a certain amount of money. The hain dmei kain, it's the amount of money it costs to buy a nest of birds. Like the Mishnah in Krisis tells us, du kinim bobayom b'rivasayim, that 2 kinim, 2 nests cost 2 revayim, and 1 would cost 1 roveya. Shager chai b'karbon. A ger, this is not such a known halacha, but a ger has to do a few things to become a ger. One thing he has to do is, if he's a man, he has to do bris mila. Number 2, he has to do kabbalas ol mitzvahs. Number 3, he has to do tzvila. The fourth thing he has to do, and a third thing if he's a woman, has to bring a karban to complete the process. Kidetanya, the Brisa tells us, kachem, this is this week's parsha actually, kachem, like you, kiger ye kavosechem, just like our forefathers. Well, what do they do? Ma avosechem, this is also from last week's parsha, last week in Shavuos. Ma avoseichem lo nichnasu lebris ela b'mila v'tvila v'tzasas damim. Just like at Har Sinai, all these things took place. There's mila, and then there's tvila, and there's hatzas damim, the sprinkling of the blood. Dichsev ayikach Moshe's hadam v'yizok. He took the blood and sprinkled it. Vein hazael b'tvila. That means dipping into the mikvah. V'tzas damim. What's that damim? Dichsev achatzi adam zarek al mizbech. And half the dam they sprinkled on mizbech. So we see from here, from Kabbalah Satorah, that you have to, one of the things you require is a carbon. So afheim, so to kachem, says the pasuk, so to them, lo yichnesu ela b'mila v'tfila v'artaz damim. Now, Kabbalah Ol Mitzvahs is really a discussion, machlokes Yerushalmim, how do you really need Kabbalah Ol Mitzvahs? How much Kabbalah Ol Mitzvahs do you need? But certainly, karbonos, the requirement of a carbon, is a chiv deraisa. And we'll finish with the Rashi. B'maseches krisus, b'rosh perek arba mechusoy kapar, masik milsa desagile b'olas ahof. All you have to bring is olas ahof, that's enough. Hilkach yafish rovei lakino, just simply separating a shekel, shemi bana beis hamigdash b'yameinu v'yarkivenu. This way you have a shekel set aside, beis hamigdash is rebuilt, you have the opportunity to bring the carbon as soon as possible. That was the eighth takana Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made. Now the Gemara explains, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Kfar Nimna Le Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan already got together with some of his contemporaries. Ubitla Bipnei Tekala. They said no longer should a person set aside the shekel, the roveya, because the concern of a tekala, because the Rashi explains, Dilma Asi Lasune Mine. I've got a shekel hidden in my jaw. And one day, who you know, maybe I'll forget about it and take the shekel and misuse it for something other than karbanos, because that tekala, they said no longer should a person set it aside. Now, Geir still works Bizman HaZeh, even though there's no karbanos, because the chiv to bring a carbon only existed Bizman HaBeis HaMikdash. Now that there's no Beis HaMikdash, there's no obligation to set aside a carbon anymore. But L'Asid Lavo, when Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, you have to, a Geir would have to bring a carbon, I believe. Yes. Oh, I thought you had a question. Okay, now that's eight takanos. What's the ninth takana? The Idach, the last one, plugs the Papa of Nachman Bar Yitzchak. There's a machlokas, which was the ninth takana of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So Rabbi Papa Amar Kerem Revai. Halacha we'll see in a second about Kerem Revai. Kerem Revai is the fourth year. The halachas are that the first 2 years of a fruit tree are considered arla, usher, to eat. The fourth year is called Revai, Neter Vai, Kerem Revai. Kerem Revai is dafka, the grapes. Neter Vai is all fruits. The fourth year, you take it to Yerushalayim to eat it. The fifth year and on, you can eat it wherever you want. So something about Kerem Revai is the ninth takana. We'll see in a moment. And Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar Lashon Shazahuris, something to do with that gold or red string with Yom Kippur that we saw in Yuma, we'll get to as well. So what are the, what's the machlokas? So Rav Papa Amar Kerem Revai, when it came to the fourth year of grapes, what's the halacha? The Braisa tells us that Kerem Revai Haya Ola Lushlaim, Mahalch Yom Lechotzat. So normally the halacha is by Kerem Revai, a person could do one of two things. Either he could schlep up the grapes themselves and bring and eat the grapes in Yerushalayim, or he can redeem them, be mechaled onto coins, and then bring the coins to Yerushalayim and buy anything he wants, any food he could buy. So they made a takana, said Kerem Revai, that a day's walk distance around the radius around Yerushalayim, you cannot redeem it, even though halachically you could one step outside the walls, you're allowed to redeem it. The halach was if your day distance of Yerushalayim in the entire radius, you cannot redeem it. This is the following. These are the borders. Ayelas min atzafon, that was a city in the north. Anything from Ayelas and within, you can no longer redeem it. Vakreves min hadarim, the south was this place called Akreves. You can't redeem between the south and Yerushalayim. And Lud min hamar, from the west was Lud. Vyardin min hamizrach, and the east was Yardin. So within those borders, one can no longer redeem the fruit. You have to bring the actual fruit to Yerushalayim. Why? Vamar ula v'isema rabba bar ula amar b'yochanan matam. What was the reason why you can no longer redeem it? But there actually you redeem it even just as long as you're outside the walls of Yerushalayim. Tam matam kidei la'atir shuke Yerushalayim b'peros. They wanted that Yerushalayim be adorned with fruit. If a person redeemed it, it's possible when he came to Yerushalayim, he could buy something else. He could buy meat. He could buy something else. They wanted dafka fruit to be all over Yerushalayim, so they made such a takana. But we'll just see that inside Rashi. Rashi says, Haya Ola Yerushalayim. He says, HaPeres Asman, you have to bring the actual fruit. Even though one's allowed to redeem both Neter Vai and also Maaseh Sheni has the same halacha, as long as you're one step outside the walls of Yerushalayim, you could still redeem it. As we said, they made a takana. They want Yerushalayim to be filled with fruit.
Because they would sell whatever is left over to the Chenvanim.
Right? Oh, that was the reason why?
There's two reasons.
Oh, I thought laughter was a reason just to make it look beautiful. Let's see, yeah.
מתוך שהעולם, שהעולים לירושלים אוכלים פירות רבי שלהם, לא נזקקו לקנות פירות לצורך אכילה ונשארו הרבה פירות בשוקים. That's one. Meaning that they would have their own, so the shuk would have more. And according to that one, יש מפרשים שמביא פירות רבי לירושלים, ימחרו מותר פירותם לחנבנים, ועל ידי זה יש שפע של פירות בשוק.
Okay.
So it's to...
I didn't know that. I was assuming just to make it look beautiful. Okay. So then, Tanya, we still haven't gotten to the Takana yet of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. The Braisa comments on this, Kerem Revai Hayalol Rabbi Eliezer B'mizah Chlud Besad Kfar Tavi. So Rabbi Eliezer had a little vineyard to the east of Lud, right next to the village of Tavi. Was Rabbi Eliezer, I think, was the wealthy Tanya, right? I think he was the one that gave like thousands of mice every single year. Thousands of like, animals for Meister Behemer. I think so. Let's see if there's a comment about that. I don't see it. But I think this is, isn't the one that the Gemara in Yuma tells us that anybody says, I was too wealthy to learn.
Because he wouldn't go and...
Rabbi Eliezer, he himself is the wealthiest person. He would go from city to city to try to learn. So he said, you could be wealthier than Rabbi Eliezer, and he learned plenty. I think it may have been him. Okay, we'll see. Anyway, so he had such a kerem. Now, Bikesh Rabbi Eliezer lahafkiu l'aniyim. He wanted to be mafkir to all the aniyim to come to eat. So, Gemara's Amulo, Talmidav, his student said to him, that I skipped? I skipped. Yeah, I don't think I skipped. So even though Mikar Din Rabbi Eliezer should have brought the fruit to Yushalayim. Instead, he was mafkir to let the aniyim eat it, and this way he doesn't have to schlep anything to Yushalayim. So Amar lo Talmidav, so Rabbi Eliezer's student said to him, Rebbe, kfar nimnu chaverech alav, vetiru, your friend already got together, and rematir, the tekana doesn't exist anymore. Even though you're very far away from Yushalayim, even though you're very close to Yushalayim, you're still out to redeem it. You could bring the money up. You don't have to schlep the fruit anymore. So no, you don't need to mafkir it. Simply redeem it and bring the money to Yerushalayim. Don't schlep all the fruit. So says the Gemara, man chaverecha. Who are your friends that made that uprooted the initial takana that you don't have to schlep the fruit up? You could redeem the fruit. So they say Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. He's the one. He was made this takana. The takana again was. He said no longer is there an obligation for you to schlep the fruit. No matter where you lived outside of Yerushalayim, you can simply be redeemed and bring the money to Yerushalayim. That was the ninth takana according to Rapapa.
Come for vacation.
What?
Come for vacation.
Come for vacation, right.
Yeah, it seems from here that it was because it was full of going to Yerushalayim, so they didn't want to give an out to the going.
Oh yeah?
It's a Shemiachash Haber Yerushalayim, lo chashish uchamim le'atara beperot, le'tzorech ha'goyim hadarim shalom.
That goes according to the sheet that you said. But look at Rashi. Rashi doesn't give that impression. Look at the first wide line down in Rashi. Ve'tiruhu. Rashi explained, Liftoso, he permitted you to redeem them. The halosa adamim, to bring the money to Yerushalayim. Dechem the charva Yerushalayim, lo hachashu lehem chacham elatra me'ata. They didn't want to adorn the city. So this is what I thought Pashup Shat was in the Gemara, just to make it look beautiful. According to what you're explaining, based on whichever Rishon that is, it's about selling and giving profits to the Goyim. So right. It seems to Rashi it's about beautifying it.
So what do you do with the money that you bring to Yerushalayim instead of the
You food? Just buy whatever, buy food.
So you're not spending it with the goyim.
Right, you end up spending with the goyim, I guess, either way. Right. I hear, so that's a kasha on that shot. Either way, the goyim you're getting hana, whether it's the actual food or...
No, because the difference is that when you take the money, you can choose who you buy from.
And when you sell the food, you cannot choose who you sell
it to. Well, yeah, there's no reason why your chambani would lose money and not sell it to a goy. On the other hand, you...
Okay, we are running out of time. So it says the Gemara. We are now three wide lines down. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar Lashon Shazuris. No, he says the ninth takana had to do with that little string, that ribbon that was hanging for Yom Kippur. What was this? If you remember from Maseches Yuma, the Tanya Bar Rishona, and initially Hayukoshin Lashon Shazuris Al Pesach Ulam. They would hang it on the outside of the grand hall in the Beis Hamikdash. Mibachutz on the outside. Hilbin, if it turned white from all the Avodas Yom Kippurim, so Hayu Smechem, they're very happy. They got the Kapara. Lo, Halbin, it didn't turn white. Hayu Atzavin, they're very sad. Hiskinu Sheikoshin Osal Pesach Ulam, since they got sad, they said, let's hang it from the inside where they aren't able to see what happened, whether it turns white or not. Mibifnim, V'adayin hu matzitzin, they'd still like kind of peek in. Somehow, I'm not sure how they get a glimpse of it, but they would. And ro'en halbin hayusmeich, and lo halbin la'yutzavim, they'd still be able to see it. If they saw it turn white, they're very happy. If it didn't turn white, they're very sad. Then they made another tekana, hiskinu sheyuhu koshin oso chetze b'sel v'chetze b'in karnav shosoyer. They said, know what we're going to do? Tie half it on the stone on top of the cliff, and half it between the horns of the goat, push off the goat, and the kohen who pushed it off is able to see whether the ribbon tied to the rock is going to turn white or not. So that was the tekana that apparently they thought Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was the one who instituted. So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, my time lo amar k'Rav Papa. Why didn't Rav Nachman like Rav Papa's reasoning? Rav Papa's reasoning was, his tekana was, had to do with Kam Ravai. Why didn't he like that? He said something else. Amar l'cha, Yitzchak, I skipped the line again?
I don't know, what was his tekana?
Rav Papa says that ninth tekana was that Rav Yochanan says that even if you're within a day's distance of Yishlaim, you can redeem it. We don't want to be adorning Yerushalayim anymore because it's in a state of churva. So why did Rav Nachman not like that explanation as the ninth tekana? So Amar l'cha, Rav Nachman explains, Yitzchak adaitach Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai chaverav the Rabbi Eliezer mihave? Rabba havi. The Gemara says, who was the one who says you no longer have to schlep the fruit? We said the friends of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yochanan wasn't a friend of Rabbi Eliezer. He was his Rebbe. So that's why that couldn't be referring to Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. Avidach, the Papa will respond back, Kevin de Tamidim Havu, Lav Orch Ara Lememra Le, the Rabbi Ravcha. So since the Tamidim were talking to Rabbi Eliezer, it's not appropriate to say, your Rebbe, rather your contemporary, because by Tamidim saying to Rabbi Eliezer, referring to his Rebbe of Yochanan, it kind of makes him very inferior, Rabbi Eliezer. So since Rabbi Eliezer was the Rebbe of these Tamidim, they wanted to give him respect, to put him on the same pedestal as Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. Now even though Rabbi Yochanan is the Rebbe of Rabbi Eliezer, the Tamidim didn't want to refer to Rabbi Eliezer as his Rebbe as a Rebbe. They referred to him as a contemporary, as a chaver. So that's explained the language. Then Rav Papa, my time alo amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Why did Rav Papa not learn like Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak? The reason is because of the Lashon Zehuris. Why was that not the reason? So Amalacha, so Rav Papa says, Yitzchak adaitach, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, b'mei Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, mi hava Lashon Shezuhuris? Was it really the Lashon Shezuhuris in the time period of Yochanan Zakkai? He didn't live during the time period of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. The Beis Mikdash wasn't around. As we'll see, V'atani, the Braisa teaches us. Kol Shnosov Sher Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, mea ve'esim shana. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai lived 120 years. Arbaim shana, the first 40 years, Asik b'prakmatia, he was learning, he was doing business, he was involved in a job. Arbam Shana Lamar, then 40 years he learned, and then Arbam Shana Lime, then he taught for the last 40 years. Vitan, the Braisa tells us, Arbam Shana Kodum Shenichrav HaBayis, 40 years prior to the destruction of the base of Migdash, Lohayu Lashon Shazuris Malbin Elamadim, it only turned red, it would never turn white. Vitan, the Mishnah further tells us, Mishnah Charav HaBayis, when the base of Migdash was destroyed, Hiskin Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, he made a takana. So therefore, what has this prove? How does all the calculations tell us that he didn't live? So the last 40, so Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai lived after the Beis Mikdash.
But he also lived during.
Rashi explains, he only made the takanas when he was actually teaching. He's not going to make a takana when he's learning only. He was only learning yeshiva. When he was 81, finally became a teacher. So sometime between 81 and 120, he started making takanas.
He lived 120.
Yeah, that's what the Gemara just said, 120. So we know already that he lived at least a year or two after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So 40 years before that, it was the only way he started teaching. So he started teaching in the time period of the last 40 years prior to the destruction. The last 40 years, it only turned red. While the whole takana of it describes sometimes it turned white, sometimes it turned red, so that couldn't have been during his time, because during his time period as being a Rebbe, teaching, it was only turning red. So he wouldn't have made such a takana. So that's why he couldn't be the one who made the takana of Lashon Shezuhuris. And then the Rav Nachman responds back, and we'll finish with this, V'idach, Osum Arbam Shana, Dilamad, Tamad Yoshev Le Rabahava. No, even the 40 years when he was learning, he was learning in front of a Rebbe, Bamar Milsa, he said certain things to his Rebbe. Vistaber Taima, which made a lot of sense. Vikover Rebbe Bishmei, and the Rebbe was Masakin Yitzakanas in the name of Rebbe Yochanan Zakkai. So yes, during the 40 years where he learned, he was in essence making takanas vis-a-vis his Rebbe.
Right.
The Kavir Rebbe Bishmei, right.